Hello, we are on the air. This is Kathy Cook. We'll be bridging some wisdom tonight with two separate people that are just part of my heart and soul. We have with me tonight, and visiting in my home, Michael Goger. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Kathy. How are you doing?
Kathy. Wow, no Tessie, huh?
Yeah, hello, everybody.
And we have with us tonight my dearest friend, Allison. Hey, Allison.
Hello. Hey, Kathy.
And you met Michael, so you can... Hello, Michael.
Oh, yes. Michael.
He's in the kitchen now.
A pleasure to meet him.
Yeah, it was an experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The great guy.
Yes.
You're very lucky to know him.
Oh, he's the love of my life. You know how protective you were of me of that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's like you came over and gave permission, and it's okay now. Oh, God, I love you to pieces. Allison, Michael's got a migraine pretty badly tonight, so he's going to be in and out. But he's going to be sitting right here listening, so he's going... How you feeling, darling?
I'll be right here.
How you feeling now?
Same, but...
Yeah. God loving. He's such a radio man. he's getting a little wind, a little healing here. So if we can all, we're going to ask everybody if they just give a little silent moment for Michael's migraine and just zoom in and give him a little bit of healing, because he's in pretty bad shape, but he's puts on a good act here.
Yeah.
But you should see his face. It's
2 days headache. Oh.
Yeah. So we're just going to breathe in and out, Michael, and just let everybody just touch you with their heart and love and care, and let me be able to and place my hand on your head. And I just ask, oh Lord, that you just come upon Michael in his mind, body, spirit, and soul, and release all the pressure and tension that he has in his head, and that you are the master physician of all physicians, and through anything, all things are possible for those that love you. I just ask you to touch him and lift that pressure out and let the blood flow with the capillaries of the blood that is constricted, and let his feet rush blood, fresh blood up to the top of his head. And all of those that are just silently praying in their heart, he just know that he is truly loved, as you know that we all love Michael. And we just praise him and thank him for being a part of BBS and who he is in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Allison, I'm so glad you're here with us. You were here for Michael's birthday.
Yes. Did you guys ever cook dinner?
The next day, yesterday, I cooked him a big breakfast with bacon and link sausage and sunny side up eggs, over easy eggs, oatmeal, biscuits. I mean, it was, and bread toast with the cheese. And then last night I cooked, we did all that. He had chicken and rice and all that stuff. So he's eating pretty hearty. But Ashley's been going to be giving him a party tomorrow night. He didn't feel like it tonight. We were going to broadcast over there and eat over there. So he's got a week long of birthday celebration.
Yep.
There you go. And hopefully you guys will make it to my house for dinner.
Yeah, that's right. You asked us to dinner this morning.
That's right. Looking forward to it, Allison.
I've known you, Allison, how many years? 14?
Yeah.
And you just been through thick and thin with me.
Yeah.
And for 2 years, active listening audience, Allison and I just met. She's I'm a good 16 years older than her. But we became just bonded and as strangers. And before you know it, we didn't talk for like almost 10 years, but she found me somehow. We just lost touch. And for 2 years before that, we used to just hang out every day and dream about what, you know, the metaphysical world to, you know, because Allison, you were raised Catholic, right?
Yes, I was, yes.
And it's just, you know, everything intertwines together. And do you mind if we talk a little bit about what I saw at your house with Emily?
No.
Okay. Allison came a week prior to my house, and we hadn't seen each other in a couple of years. And before that, I saw her once in 10 years. And I immediately picked up the house that you were living at and your yard and the spirit, this 17-year-old named Emily. And I've never been to your place. And I told you where it, at the tree there was some figures and a little place to put stuff, like a offering. And it's near the birdhouse and all that stuff. And what did you find and how does it feel when you got there?
Well, I had been drawn to that area of the backyard ever since I got to the house. So whenever you were telling me about that, I remember seeing something, but there was a lot of overgrown weeds and the tree was overgrown and stuff like that, and I've always meant to get out there and clean it up. I was just busy. So I remember seeing something out there, and sure enough, after I saw you that afternoon and I went home, I don't know if I told you this or not, I have a white German Shepherd, and she ran as soon as I got home. It was like late that night, around 11 p.m., and she had to go out, and I let her out, and she went right to that spot and stood there, and she almost glowed. It was so weird.
Where I saw those little figures.
Yep, she looked down at the figures, and she looked at me, and I said, "I know all about it. Kathy told me. Come on." And she looked back at the figures and then came running into the house.
Wow.
It was so weird.
That's amazing.
But I did... After I got home, I did go back out there, and I looked, and there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 figures. They have kind of like strange faces, almost like, I can't explain it. They're not human faces. They're ceramic, and the two of them are in the ground because the legs have been like deteriorated off.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like at one time they were all joined arm in arm, and because the arms of the three that are still standing are intertwined. And in the middle of them, there was a small dish. And I couldn't believe it once I cleared away the weeds and everything around it, how it was just like what you had said. And then across the way, there's the birdhouse sitting kind of like facing them.
Uh-huh.
It's not in the tree. The tree is kind of still small.
Right, it was on like a pole.
There is a pole right there above the figures.
Uh-huh.
And last weekend, I had just put a hummingbird feeder there. Now, in my front yard, there's a birdhouse hanging in the tree. And I cleaned out the front yard this past weekend, and there was a frog and a...
Yeah.
Another dish and things like that out front.
Uh-huh.
And you did mention that too.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Mm-hmm. And then I told you about what were the names I gave you, that spirit that showed. I kept saying, here comes this weird energy, remember? And I kept feeling this new energy. And that's when
I saw that. You kept saying like Ellen or Eleanor, or and then you were like Emily. And then you said there's a spirit there named Emily who's 17. And you were like, she's here now. And you said that she really liked us and things like that. And then you said it was like a mom, a grandma, and her that may have lived in the house.
Right.
Like three women. Maybe one's named Eleanor.
How old is that house?
Hmm?
How old is that house that you live in?
I believe it was built in the early 1940s.
Uh-huh. And I said something about a spider. I remember that. Or, you know, the boards outside coming in with the spider.
The spider? Well, we saw a black widow that day.
Huh?
We saw a black widow that day.
Yeah.
That was my first time.
It's amazing how the connections go if you just open up and let them happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the knowing, and just keep yourself cleaned out with junk of other people, places, and things, because they have no power over you. They only allow what you allow inside, and it keeps me clean, you know, working this way for, since I've known you a long time before that, but It's just so natural. They're natural. The spirits are natural. And I don't hear voices, and I do not see, but in my heart I see it. Within my heart, I did not see any of the images. It was just spoken out for me. But then I went into the remote view and saw that spider, and it was a Black Widow.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, Allison, you're very gifted as well. Michael gave you a foot while I laid down and I meditated because I was so tired when you came over. I have to tell you what happened after you tell. It's amazing what happened after you left. So, Michael, what did you feel when you first saw Allison and the necklace and all that? And I was taking a meditation up in the spaceship to fix my hip.
Many past lives.
Yeah.
Very, I don't know what the word would be. I don't want to label it Wiccan, but very Native American and very earthy in many different lives.
Gothic. I kept seeing Gothic and Renaissance, and I kept seeing that choker around her neck. And oddly enough, she's going to take that off after she hadn't had it off.
Yeah.
But once when her son was born 10 years ago, and I set up out of a dead meditation, no. You remember?
Yeah, I wanted to hold her necklace so I can get some impressions from it. And
I was out of it, too, and it just pumped up.
Sat right up. No! Don't take it off!
I know. Scared me.
Movies.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But you had a great point about the necklace, how my grandmother was protecting me from my ex-husband.
Uh-huh, because you have two charms on here. You have an amethyst, which is healing, which your ex-husband gave you, and you got the letter A for Allison, grandmother gave you.
Right.
The good one was when your dad came through riding a motorcycle.
That was so weird.
And all his brothers.
I left there, and I had such a, I don't know, like inner peace, like calmness. Like before I got there, I was anxious and upset and just nervous. And then when I left, it was like it was gone. And I still feel that way right now. I was laying on my bed for a minute, and I was like, I just feel peaceful. And I think the things you told me about my family put a lot of, worries or concerns at rest, because they seemed happy, where they're at now. Yeah. And it just seemed like so much heartache and pain growing up and watching them. Mm-hmm. So to hear that they are finally happy is just a great, overwhelming feeling. Does that make sense?
It brings tears to your eyes sometimes when he reads.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I was crying oh my God, I couldn't help it. But it was just, they were tears of joy because I was happy to hear that they were happy and that they were looking out for me. That was great,
Yeah. Because he and I have a different technique.
Yeah.
And things. What do you see in that? The difference in the way I see things and the way he sees things?
Well, you tell me a lot of, riddles, whenever I'm with you.
Yeah, I do, don't I?
Yeah, you give me a lot of, numbers, and this goes to this, and that does that, and by the time, when I go back and I look at it, I'm confused.
Yeah, I gave you a journal. We wrote it down in a journal.
Yeah, we did, and it's not that I'm confused, it's like I see the key points, and they all make sense, but I lose how you get there. You do it, and it's amazing. The ship you showed me and the maple leaf, you had no idea I was doing any of that. Things.
And what about, Michael, I don't remember the maple leaf. Oh.
Well, remember when I went to Canada?
It was a Canada flat,
Yeah, and then you had the maple leaf ashtray. It was just kept coming up, and then the wax figure of the ship with the boat and the healing candle tray thing you have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you got stoned out of it. That was Michael's tray when he was here the last time. And I lit three or four candles and had that moon maiden there and had the bridging crystals and centrines and all kinds of stones in there. And I sent him all the goodness that he had ever given to me in the world. And that those candles went on. You were the last one I lit it, remember? I said, I hope it lights.
Right.
And that is amazing because we did not know Michael was coming in because he still didn't know. And you just happened to say, can I stop by? You know, that see the connection, how the spiritual world works.
Mm-hmm.
And you took a couple of stones. Which stones did you take?
Which turns?
Which stones did you get out of the... Because remember I left you alone and told you to look at it and just feel it and pick that it's got a gift for you?
Yes. I picked out, it was kind of like a grayish-brown one, sort of oval, very smooth all around.
Uh-huh.
And I just like the feel of it. And actually, it's out in the dish with the figures.
Oh, wonderful.
I know, that's enough there. Because, I don't know, I put that out there. Remember the flower we picked each other that day?
In
your front book and sniffed
it? The gardenia, right when you came in the house, I said, let's pick a gardenia and wear it in our hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it still smells so good. But, you know, ever since, and people... Well, Darren and my kids probably think I'm strange, mm-hmm. but ever since I cleaned up that area and put that there, there has been a very strange perfumey smell back there.
I told you. Yay!
It's a delicious smell. I can't even explain it. And my son, older son, the other day came home and he said, "Oh my God, what is that smell? I love it." What?
Yeah.
It's not ants.
When I killed his
answer,
I
wanted. He says it's
ants. Is that Kurt?
Yes.
Hey, Kurt.
Are you serious?
So weird. Crush one,
smell
your
hands,
Tony.
Ah.
So crazy.
All right. This is weird, but this is what he says.
And he's Tony said, "Hey."
Oh, Kathy said, "Hey." Hey. He's on his way out.
Yeah, he that since he was 8 years old.
Yeah, he's going to be.
He's your oldest. So he's your oldest son, and how old is he?
23.
Okay, and what did he just see?
What? I'm sorry. He's talking to me. About, I don't know.
We're just chillaxing in our living room in our pajamas, and even though we're on broadcast, because that's the way it just feels. We're just bridging some wisdom.
Yeah.
Here on BBS Radio Station 1 at 5 o'clock. And today's date, let me go on and time stamp it, Allison and Michael. It is September the 27th, 2011. And we broadcast every Tuesday evening on Station 1 at 5 o'clock Pacific, which is 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And tonight we have my best friend, Allison, that I hadn't seen in years, and my love of my life, Michael Goger.
How do?
What did he see about the ants? Tell me.
Okay. Well, we have these tiny ants. They're like in the yard. They're everywhere. They're not like in the house, but they're just outside everywhere. And the neighbors said they've been getting really bad.
Yeah, they're little ants. We've got them out over the cat. They're coming in through the window. Michael's constantly killing them.
Right.
Not killing them, but... He just moved the sugar. He says, now don't move it back. They were after the honey. They were all in the honey and everything.
Right. Well, he says that if you smash them, like kill them, and sniff it, sniff your fingers, he said it smells like potpourri.
Wow.
So,
at least leave it to Kurt to smell his fingers. Mallet, mallet. You know how we say to puppy, mallet, mallet. Wow, potpourri.
So, this smell in the backyard, he's saying, is the same smell. It's a great smell. If I have to get rid of the ants and lose the smell, I'll be bummed. But I'll tell you what. No, the ants have to go. But I can't believe
that's why Mama calls them sugar ants.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the smell is amazing. I love it. And I'm like, where is it coming from? And he's saying it's the ants. That's a lot of ants.
Well, you think about an ant, They have a colony, and that's why I can't get to the ants that live at this house, because I've had Terminex, everybody here, but they have a farm. You know, yeah, you have an ant farm, and they dig deeper and deeper, and there's colonies down in there. And they know, Emily, I'm sure, because it's, you know, right there around your house, and the spirit of Emily, and it's amazing that, remember when you were, we were lighting those cigars and smelling them?
Yeah.
and the smell, and I said, and that's a connection for you to give an affirmation that, you know, Kurt's really gifted as well. So let me ask you, now, you told how I did reading, you know, intuitive. I don't call them readings. I call them like a shamanic, you know, thing. What do you feel with Michael and how different he is with compared to me? Because we complement each other. He's from up north in New York, and here I am with this southern drawl down here in North Carolina. And it's so different because he is very well-rounded in every study that can be imaginable, but he has his own way and doesn't really pull or use any kind of tools or anything. But, I mean, I went to sleep. Y'all lulled me to sleep, but you took that rocking chair, the glider ottoman, I remember, and pulled it towards him so that you wouldn't need to be quieter because I felt really tired. And Allison, when I woke up, we decided we were going to, after you left, we don't ever watch TV, but we decided to just see what was on TV. And Michael moved the ottoman, you know, looked down underneath that ottoman glider, and there was a black stone with little pieces of silver flicks. I said, and he handed it to me. I said, I don't know this stone. I've never seen this stone. It's unfamiliar to me. And when we turned on the TV, it was the movie Knowing with Nicolas Cage, and it was right at the scene where he was finding a stone just like that. Oh. And how at the end of the world with the solar flares and all that stuff, and it was just the connection was crazy.
Wow, I had sat there the whole time. I didn't see any stones when I was sitting there.
It was when you put it back.
Oh, when I put it back,
there was nothing there. There was nothing there. There was no stone there when you put that back. No. You would have seen it. It was very obvious.
Yeah,
it's a good sized stone. It looks like a piece of, you would use in a very heavy graveled area in a big old chunk, but it has flicks of mica and crystal in there, and it looks like silver strings. And I said, I've never seen this because I know my stones, even though they've all been stolen. Aren't you amazed at my altar being disappeared like it has?
Yeah.
Somebody took all my altar. Yeah. But Michael, go ahead and tell about what you got yesterday as a gift, because we always get a gift after we have connected with the other side.
Well, right after you left, Allison, there was a downpour. I don't know if you remember or not. There was a heavy rain.
Yes.
And right after the rain, Tassie went out, and she says, look at this. And right on the front step was the most gorgeous moonstone you ever wanted to find. Wow. It was just rain. And we went
in. It had rainbows in it, like after the storm, like a rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it in his hand now. It's still got some dirt. Somebody pulled it out of the dirt and put it on. Because I have stones all over my yard because I just place them there for things. But it's this gorgeous one I've never seen either. And it's amazing how you just, because he gave you an intuitive, he got that stone, and then you got that stone, you know, under your rock glider, which wasn't there when you put the glider back, and I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I was out of cigarettes the other day, and I manifest, whole pack popped up.
It's true. It's true. Things pop up, move around.
Yeah.
And
it feels good though. It's nicotine in it bad. Now I need to quit. Oh my God, it showed me so much that I needed to quit. But we had just been over there behind the glider where you sat, you know, that big old bookshelf.
Yeah.
And there was some CDs that I used for the computer, but I had just showed Michael this new headset and I wanted him to take it back with him to New York. And we were all up in that thing. And and then I just said, they always leave me a gift. They always come through with my cigarette. We looked up over there about 10 minutes later, and there was a whole friggin' pack.
Not even open.
Wow.
Awesome. And it wasn't there before.
And you had taken that little pack of cigars that I'd given you just to have, you know, to get up. Yeah, so I was like, whoa. But it was odd. The nicotine came like, for three hard, strong minutes, about every 30 minutes, because I watched it, you know, because Michael and I both were out of cigarettes, and he was asleep, and I woke up about 4:30, 5 o'clock that morning and did some work, and I started charting how, and it was hardcore, and I realized that I had read somewhere or studied something that for 3 days you have nicotine only, the rest is habit. And it lets down the secretion every 30 minutes for 3 minutes only. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I don't smoke that much. Well, hardly ever. So.
No, you don't. But tell me about Michael's kind of technique. What do you feel? He just pounds it with names, dates, places.
Yeah, he did. And he was, like, right on. And I think that was, at first, a little... I was nervous about that, you know, because it's, you know, about faith and your beliefs and things like that. But it was just things that he was telling me nobody else would have known, you know, certainly not you, I don't think. So it was just, you're right. I mean, and he also, like, you know, with my family and things like that. So it seemed a little bit more...
commercialized.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's hard to explain.
It out like a gumball machine where mine's cryptic.
Yeah, she's more spiritual and shamanic.
That's what I'm, because I've always wondered the difference, because I don't, Michael's my mate, you know, and I don't see him as a intuitive, though I know he does it. I don't, we don't have that here, but we do play games and stuff when, you know, like Harry Potter, you call me, or Edgar Casey. But this time around, it's just totally just goo-goo I'd love.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah. I can feel it when I was there, you know.
Could you?
Very, very comfortable.
Wow. So.
You could feel it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Happy.
A lot of people had their doubts until we had a chance.
Yeah. We had a lot to... When Michael and I argue or fuss, we call it fussing. He has a bad boy room.
I only been in it once in 7 days. That's not bad.
I broke a metal thing in two. I was so aggravated. I told him to go to his room for 10 minutes. Because I was eating. You remember I was telling you about that, Allison? And he made me, he just loves to wait on me and love on me. And it was, I was like a wolf that had just gotten their food. And I was like, what'd I say?
You're in my space.
But then I shared my sandwich. But when you licked the mayonnaise off the side, I was
woo!
Like,
that
was my favorite part.
The claws were out.
Yeah. And I told you to go to your room for like 10 minutes. I said, get out of my face. Go to your room. You know, and you just sat there going, oh, but I was just waiting on you. And I, just, I said, but I'm a wolf. You brought me food and you're in my space. It's mine. I told him he could only have a bite at the specific place on the sandwich and even carved it out with my finger. I said, only right there. But no, he licked the mayonnaise.
And the melted cheese.
Yeah.
I took your favorite piece.
Yeah, just to antagonize him. But tell him about how the power of the, you know, spirit just comes through. And I don't have a temper like that. But I just tapped that cane down. I said, watch. So don't mess with me and that thing.
No.
It was pull. You saw it, Allison.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
When this lady gets fired up, you go to your room quick.
Yeah, I go to my room quick, but then I start talking normal to Puppy and dancing and everything. I'm over it.
Yeah.
But when you bring it back up to me,
whoo,
lower that.
Well, now you know.
I've got basket and my hips collapsed, so I have a cane, and I just pushed it down on the floor, and it broke half in two, like somebody soldered it.
It's like lightning.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah. It's amazing. But it's just, maybe it was in the right place to break. I don't know. But it was like, whoa, we both looked at each other like, oh my God. I went, see what I can do?
Yeah. I said, I better get to going.
he even packed his bags and went and moved into the guest room. But then it was funny.
I knew I was a goner.
But it wasn't really like that. You were just playing.
The next was the root cellar.
With the ritual candle. Michael's son said when he was coming to visit, he says, you better be careful down there. They have root cellars and they have ritual candles. Don't bend over. That was so funny because I don't have that. I'm not magic or do the way. I'm not even. I don't even think I have Wiccan in me.
Nah,
it just happened.
You're just very, very, very spiritual.
Yeah.
And you're very balanced and open to the Holy Spirit. And it flows through you.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to.
I just said, did you hear me, young man, little boy? Go to your room. Bam! God, he's so cute. He went to his room like a little boy. But he'd come back like a big hardcore man. We'll discuss it. And that's when we learn what affected us. Because we get it out there when we calm down. Right. Separated ourselves from the situation, and then we look at it and we learn from it. Mm-hmm. And it only makes us stronger.
Yeah.
And we hope to.
A lot of people are missing that in their relationships, you know, that type of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're. Michael and I realize the word is we're uninhibited with each other. But we want this to work so strongly, and we want to represent the world with how love can really be, you know, and how relationship can really be. Even though we're in the same field, we're not, but we respect each other's, you know, that's his creation, this is mine. And Michael, tell Allison, you know of my artwork. You've got a few of my pieces. You're the only one. Your mother has one piece, and you have, what, three?
Yes. I actually talked to my mom tonight. I asked her to find that for her, you know. She says, yeah, I was thinking about that the other day.
I would love to see it.
I said, I need you to find it.
And see all these images in there.
Mm-hmm. So she said she was going to look for it. Oh, and she also told me, oh, this is weird. Well, I don't know how this might pertain, but you remember when you said you kept seeing, like, me with a baby or somebody young around me or something like that?
And I said it was a relative or somebody, yeah.
Yeah, somebody, but my mom told me that my sister Josie might be pregnant. So I was like, oh, because you said, like, a niece or nephew.
Yeah, the baby would be your niece or nephew, but it was your relative.
Wow.
Hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah,
At first I thought it was your brother, and then it didn't feel like your brother. But Michael pulled that first. He pulled that there was a baby around, and you said, "I'm finished. I can't have any more children."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Well, science today."
Isn't that something?
Science.
Yeah, I looked at him. I said, do I look like I want another one?
Did you? I was asleep. I was probably snoring. I don't know, but yeah, it was a good meditation. And the thing is that Allison, you're so gifted that it's when we first open up to our gifts, a lot of people have a little problem because we were programmed and raised that it's one way only. And I am a Christian. I will not falter. And the Holy Spirit is just who I feed and get my information. And I can't just speak it out unless God has a message. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
And Michael does it a different way. He uses the whole universe, but he's Holy Spirit driven. And when we have learned, you know, certain ways, it's the only thing I can say is we don't pray to anybody else but the Holy Spirit, but through him, messages come through. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm. And I believe
you've got a very strong gift of healing elder people and working with them. And also, I keep seeing herbs and, you know, knowing how to put the old ways back into the life of which herb goes with what heals what. And you'll just naturally know it. You won't even have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your younger son, he's like a dreamer. He sees, and remember the mood ring that you were telling us about?
Yeah.
You want to tell a little bit about that?
Well, the other day we were watching television, and he had a mood ring on his hand that the stone was, like, primarily black. So he put it on the table, and it had changed to, like, a blue color. And then he told me he saw it move, which I didn't see. But then he said he saw it move again, and he was asking me if that was Emily, if she would have liked that or if she would have done that. And I said, well, it's a possibility because she's 17. I said, things like that would appeal to a teenager, you know. Mm-hmm. But then we just kind of never, you know, that was the only thing I heard about it. But he kind of questions it sometimes.
Yeah, and Kurt as well. I mean, he's like a detective with it.
Well, yeah, actually, the weird thing was is when I got home after seeing you, I had them sitting at the table together, and I was telling them about what you had said, because mm-hmm. they wanted to know why I was out in the yard, you know, looking at those figures, so I told them. And Kirk actually said, oh, I know we're not alone. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, I felt a presence here the whole time. He said, but I'm not afraid by it. He said, I've heard things, too. And I said, well, why wouldn't you have told me? And he said, well, what do you want me to tell you? Hey, Mom, I'm hearing things, or I think there's yeah. somebody here. And I was like, no. Oh, I said, but I, you know, if you knew something or whatever. And I said, well, I said, that could be it. And he said, well, I've felt something. He said, but I feel it very, very much at peace here. He's like, it's
calming.
Oh, they
love y'all. She absolutely adores you guys. And she just, you know, she just like coming over here. She's like your guardian.
Yeah.
And she's
that's comforting to know.
Yeah. And there's many more things to come. You also found through the weeds, you said you felt like there was a flower bed out there. So you picked up on that. Sure enough, there were irises everywhere.
Oh, there are. I need to separate them. There's a ton of them.
I can't wait to visit this weekend, Michael and I, and have dinner and see exactly what I saw, you know? And you show me, and let's take a movie of it, of a little video of it.
There you go.
Yeah, of course.
The thing that I want to question here now and seek the understanding of is exactly like what you brought up with Kurt, you know, how it's been there. But when do you tell those kind of things, you know? That right. If we allow God to just guide and direct us, it's just like, you know, here I'm known as Grandmother Wisdom because I'm a shamanic healer and it's in my blood and I walk that walk. But the thing is finding your niche of you've got so many gifts that mm-hmm. where do you pinpoint one, you know, to work on? Because that's what Michael's working on with me, my art to my writing, to my Harry Potter times, to Edgar Casey stuff, you know, talking in my sleep, to where do I go with it, you know?
Right.
And the thing is my family, as you well know, are very protective of me. You knew my father well, and you just don't do that kind of stuff. They thought I was nuts for a long time. But that's the thing. It's also with the Wiccan ways, it's supposed to be a secret. You're not supposed to tell those things is what I heard. Because my grandmother, on my mother's side, or my great-grandmother, they had the secret book of shadows and, you know, the writing that you couldn't really see with the M. And I didn't know, you know, and the Merry Meet and all that stuff. And I can't figure out what they always had a doily on their head or a covering when something like someone passed or something. And so I'm still looking into my roots, but the thing is that I learned at a young age, you don't tell or say anything because those are secret things. Just like Michael wanted to share how I do this artwork. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, that's a secret. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like
absolutely.
A secret recipe because it's a stage that you can see through the drawing. Actually, Michael worked on one and got three stages up on it. Now I took the sound off because he was explaining how he did it. But I'm going to pop that up there for tonight's information. Yeah. Yes, you did get a spanking.
Boy, did you get angry.
I did not.
No.
It's on video.
But it's a very undiscovered, unique art form.
It's spiritual.
And when it gets out there,
You can study a picture and turn it in every direction, yeah. And you see something.
Absolutely.
Like, and tell some of the things you saw in your images.
It's an interactive art where you could look at it in any direction, and there's a story and images, faces and fish and birds. And
flowers. And
flowers.
And the man with the mask and the dolphins and mm-hmm. dogs and wolves. But yeah. Every time you turn it, it turns into something else.
Uh-huh.
And how I got that technique was when Daddy was dying. And your mother's got the piece that when Daddy was dying, there's two. I've got the angel's hands in the sky, and she's got the other one where he transcends. And if I hadn't have given it to her, it probably would have disappeared out of this house because everything's disappearing. But it's nobody breaking in. That's what's so freaking odd. Because there's no way any. We're sitting right here and they appear. You know, look, we're in the den, and for an example, and I wanted a cigarette. We were in the den. There was nothing there. And then about 10 minutes later, I just happened to look up, and there they were. But I told Michael they would bring them. I don't know who they are, but...
Guardians.
Guardians, yeah. Because you could... I don't know, Allison, when you come into this house, it feels kind of like a sanctuary. You know?
Yeah.
It's very peaceful and calming. And I respect the spirits that are here, because I believe there's spirits everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the spirits come from the person passing over. And it is how we... treated that person, or they treated us, is how that spiritual connection relationship is going to be in the next, you know, on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel my dad here, and my grandmother came. Remember the wallet and the two butterflies and
the flies and the buzzards for you.
Oh my gosh! So, yes,
you know, we talked in you, and that night you had a nice conversation with
him. Yeah,
Johnny Buzzard.
Yeah, my brother's called Johnny Buzzard, and. We had just talked. I was just telling Michael we saw buzzards flying around, and that was a sign of something died. And they were, you know, looking at it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And last week's broadcast, right after that, Aunt Vicky was on, and she was telling, well, I said, where did I get the name Catbird? And she says, your granddaddy Hill named you Catbird. He had a nickname for everybody. And I thought Johnny was Hot Lips because granddaddy Nordman, mama's side, gave us nicknames too, which mine was Ikey from Ike Eisenhower's birth. And I was born during... like Eisenhower days, and I was born with no hair, and so that's how I got Ikey. But then Granddaddy Hill called me Catbird, and Johnny's name was Buzzard, Johnny Buzzard.
Yeah. And the day we seen those buzzards, you would communicate with
mm-hmm.
that night,
and it healed our family. By the way, you know, it's amazing. Our family had never had any outs, Allison. You remember how we were all interconnected, never fought. And 7 years ago, Michael saw in a reading that there would be a split in my family. He saw the earth. He saw the water. He saw there would be water damage, but he saw me living at a great big hill, facing a hill. Everything that happened, this house failed, came down with mold. It was a water pipe that had busted. It was I moved to a condo that had a hill straight in front of the front door. That's all it was, to hide the school grounds behind. Everything he said, and that was 7 years prior. And I remember I was in a room. I didn't know Michael. And he said, spoke that. And I was so angry. I said, don't speak that out there. And he said, I'm not mean, Tessie. I just want you to be aware. And then before he came, he said, there's going to be a major healing in your family. And it wasn't that we argued or fought, because it wasn't like that. It was just we weren't connected like we were with the telling how we feel for each other. And, you know, and Johnny wrote me this wonderful text. It just melted my heart. And he said, anything of your desire, my sweet sister, I hope you're happy with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a big step, because you know how my family's very protective of who I have around and stuff. Even you, Allison, are very protective of that.
Yeah. Especially that New Yorker Mikey.
Yeah. Allison, do you mind if I tell a little bit about, because the whole place knows about Butch. Can I tell how important you are there in that?
Sure.
Allison and I were friends for 2 years prior, and she lived in Pennsylvania, came down to Charlotte. We were 23, maybe? 26?
26.
Yeah. And she was like, I'm going to share with y'all how she's my guardian. And I had known Butch, and she knew Butch maybe 3 or 4 visits, and we were going to go watch the comic, listen to the something at this real, you know, this band. And she told me exactly what Butch had said prior to me getting there, that he was going to, you know, take me to York and marry me and then kill me because he didn't want anybody else to have me or whatever. And she told me flat out what he was doing, and I didn't believe it. Then I went to meet Allison and her husband at the place that was going to have the music, and they weren't there. And that's how that transpired. And Allison was like the number one witness at the grand jury trial, but they wouldn't let you stay in there. That went on for 4 days. And then we lost each other. We totally lost connection. And somebody told you that they had, you know, looking into the thing years later, that PI lady told you that she found me on BBS Radio. Yeah. So that's how we got connected. So we owe a lot to BBS Radio for us to reunite.
Yeah. Interesting story.
And I love you to pieces and back, girl. You just have my best interest at heart, and sometimes I can't see clearly.
Love will do that to you.
Oh, yeah.
You mean a lot to her.
So you told me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, too, if you're happy, you're happy, you know? And
you said to stay in the moment and enjoy it.
Stay in the moment? I mean, you've guys have done your jobs, your kids are raised, and they're on their own, and it's your time to decide who you want to be with. And if you two make each other happy, then do it. I'm at the point where I'd hate to say I didn't try, because what if, you know?
Oh, my God. Michael is the king of what if, and he's finally out of it. Yeah. Tell her how to get out of what if.
She's a notorious what-if-er.
Oh, a what-if-er?
Yeah, what-if-er.
Just like you said you're what, going what-if.
What if this, yeah. What if that. But the reason I'm like
that.
You
can't do that, yeah.
Because I spent 26 years working in a state prison, and you had to what if.
Yeah.
And I got programmed that way, and it's okay in a hostile situation, but in normal everyday life, it's very paralyzing.
And you're not like that anymore.
And Tassie rewired me.
And he doesn't have a what if in his bone anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
Except for like if it's a, you know, like I let my license expire. And he goes, what, you going to have to let me learn to drive Bertha. And, you know, my old car that's 14 and it, just Bertha. And he's learning to drive until I go get my license, because he's that what if. That is a what if. You know, what if you get pulled? What if, you know, do you want to have the consequences there? That's when you use a what if, not. He's learned, and just like with you, with your relationship, what did you learn from it? Look at the what, when, where, how, and there's your why. Mm-hmm. You know, just like with my marriage, what happened there? You know, I was going right along, and then bam, but then I did ask God at the end of the ocean and inlet to take people, places, and things out of my life that were not of his will, and to bring in people, places, and things that are for me to do his work. And bam, I had a divorce. Bam, people were on my bam. You know, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, so I just learned from it. And even though the pain is so great, because to me, my heart hurt, not my mind. But I would go to the hospital for my heart being so broken for love. Because I love within my heart. And I realized today, was it, Michael, about the heart? Mm-hmm. And how, because I say listen with your heart and not your mind. Because your mind's made of people, places, and things along the way since birth. Well, Daddy told me that when he on his third day of passing, you know, the third day, and that was one of the rare times I saw an image. But the thing I'm getting at, and Buck contradicts the sentence before. I just want to say that. Where am I going with this?
About what if and knowing.
Yes, what if they're bad? Is that what you're saying?
In other words, what I want to say is that. It's already there, it's done, and it's finished. You know, like my marriage or the Butch thing or whatever. And I look at it as it strengthened me. And without, just like a person that's working out to get bodybuilding or an athlete or whatever, we have to work out and stretch in order to gain more strength. Well, God doesn't put on us any more than we can handle, but we choose that because we have free will. And I look at it like I tell Michael to keep my vessel clean so that we can communicate. If something's bugging me, I'll pick up a rock and sit in the rocking chair, because rocking chairs get you nowhere. Worry's like a rocking chair.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it and keep that out there and learn from it. But if I what-if'd myself to death, my mother was a what-if'er, and it used to aggravate me to death. And what it was, why did that aggravate me? You know, I had to look at that. And it was because I was what-if'ing my, I was doubting myself with these gifts and with who I was. And, you know, it's not that her what-if, but it molds into, if anything bothers me, and anybody, because nobody has the power to have over me but me, to allow it. And if I look at that that way, then I can learn from it and not put it as power to them. But they gave me a blessing, and that experience strength and gave me hope of a blessing of what I learned, not to repeat the same thing over expecting different results, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It does make great sense. That was great advice. I'm definitely gonna,
absolutely,
I definitely have a lot of learning to do, and my for myself, and that's why, you know, I think that was great.
How's your journaling going since we gave you that notebook? What was in that notebook that I'd written?
Just a bunch of, yeah, you wrote some interesting things in there. So,
do you have it handy?
Do I have it handy? Yeah.
I would love to see what a couple of those things were, because I said, here, just take it. I know you're supposed to use that notebook. I think there's a message that you're to give to me that I wrote that I don't know what I write half the time. And that's why I was asking if you had it handy, because I'm contemplating a few things, not with Michael, but, you know, just his house and, you know, things like that. And maybe it'll wrap up, because we're getting ready to wrap up, and it'll wrap up exactly what we've been talking about. That's why I was wondering what it was.
Well, you remember when I picked up that book and that page fell out real fast?
Oh, when we were doing the page clips?
And you said, this page fell out real fast. I'm going to put it in the notebook. And you said, keep it in the notebook, read it. But it must have meant something.
Uh-huh. So, oh, that little piece of paper that was folded.
Was it wasn't the folded one, was it?
No, that was the book when I told you to pick a book and ask a question.
Oh, yeah. No, this one, well, this sheet is talking about when people are angry. It was about preparing one to protect themselves from like attacking or something.
Do you have it handy? Because that's what we've been talking about with Michael, and go to your room, young man, you know? And that's something that I work with.
It says, you want me to read it?
Please.
All right. It says,
does it have a date?
You ready? No.
Does it have a date?
No.
Okay.
Okay. It says, nasty mocking is in speech. Sarcastic main entry. People are angry at, let's say, me. Anger is an instinctive response to a threat posed as a threat. Preparing one to protect ourselves by attacking. Camouflaging through the adrenaline rush, energy and righteousness added to its ability to camouflage uncomfortable feelings. It thus becomes an easy habit, even when we recognize how it is so consuming and wearing in bitterness toward ourselves as to others.
Wow. I needed to hear that. Because Michael calls me a chameleon. But, you know, that makes a lot of sense for everybody. I hope everybody got something out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Allison and Michael, it's 5 minutes to the hour. And it's been a wonderful hour. And it's great to connect back with you, Allison. Did you get that picture of you and Michael?
I did. Those were much better than mine.
Yeah, but just it was just a beautiful time. And we will connect back and decide what we're going to cook for dinner and show me Emily's home, your home.
All right.
in your children's home. So we'll connect and we'll give you a call tomorrow afternoon after work.
All right.
We love you, darling, and God bless.
All right.
And
bye.
We have been Bridging Wisdom on Station 1 with BBSRadio.com as the main tower and with Michael Goger.
Michael Goger.
And Allison Glasgow. And Kathy Cook, Kathy Hill Cook, Michael calls me Tassie, and Puppy Whoppy. And with that, I want to bid everybody good night. Much love, kisses, and hugs.
Mwah. Love you
all. And love you all. God bless, and keep it positive. Keep your road straight, and always know that you have a higher power that loves you very much. And with that, we are off the air.